We saw that movie the other night as well, Jesus Revolution. What an awesome movie. And I love Chuck Smith. I love his teachings. And I love the way he started his message. He would hold up his Bible and he would say, "This is God's Word. Let's open it together." So let's open God's Word together. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let me try to read this whole passage without commentary, and then I'll come back and talk about it in just a moment. But let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, and read through the end of the chapter, all right? 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "For the love of Christ controls us." Boy, it's hard not to stop right there. "Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. Now all of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the message you've laid on my heart for today. I pray that you would help me to deliver the message with simplicity and yet truth and power, with conviction for every one of us. Lord, I know that I can't produce anything. I can only present. And you have to do the producing. So Lord, as I present this word, I pray that you produce something in the hearts of every one of us through the seed of this word. And we thank you for speaking to us all in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what I want to do today, I got about 30 minutes. I want to wrap up the message series we've been bringing to you now for several weeks on the fruit of the Spirit. We've been talking about the work that the Holy Spirit does in us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference that he makes in us, the new creature that Paul speaks about here, is that new man on the inside that is in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've talked about the significance of the fruit of the Spirit. How there are two things about the fruit of the Spirit. How, number one, the fruit of the Spirit causes us to experience a better quality in the life that we lead and the life that we live. And you just think about that. That's just kind of common sense. You know, in Galatians, Paul said, "Sow to the Spirit and you'll reap life. Sow to the flesh and you reap destruction." And so what he's talking about there is when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit does things in our life. He brings a new nature to us, and he brings new qualities to our life that causes our lives to be of better character. If you look in Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 21 and 21, it says, "Those who pursue righteousness and love will discover righteousness, prosperity, and honor." In other words, when we choose to live the right way, God promises to watch over and favor our lives with his blessings. And if you know anything about the book of Proverbs, there's so many proverbs that teach us about the wisdom of pursuing and seeking righteousness. The second thing that living by the fruit of the Spirit, allowing God to transform us from within, the second thing that we found that this does is by transforming us and making us new people, the new life that we live becomes in itself a witness of God's goodness to us. We talked about the movie just a moment ago, Jesus Revolution. And that whole movie is about a hippie by the name of Lonnie Frisbee. And most of you have never heard of Lonnie Frisbee because he got buried in history many years ago because of the life, unfortunately, and the demons that he battled. But as a hippie in the late 60s, living in the San Francisco area and on the drugs and all of those kinds of things and everything that group of people, that generation of people, and by the way, this is my generation, everything that generation of people went through back in those times, Lonnie Frisbee had the sense of heart, the intuitiveness to recognize that what he and all of those others were doing in their pursuit of pleasure and highs and all of those kind of things, the drugs and everything, he recognized that what they were actually looking for is they were looking for God. They were trying to find God. And God showed up in Lonnie's life. And Lonnie got saved and God delivered him from all the drugs and stuff that he was going through. And he began to just walk up and down the west coast of the United States, San Francisco to L.A. And any group that he met, particularly with the hippies that he would run into, and he would witness to them about Jesus. And listen, here's the whole heart and soul of his ministry. Jesus changed my life. He can change your life too. Jesus gave me a better life. And brother and sister, when you and I allow the Holy Spirit to work on the inside of us and change our hearts on the inside, and we become different people because the Holy Spirit is now in control, the life that we live becomes now by itself a witness and a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do in the heart of a person who will just say yes to him. Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed our lives. I saw this in this passage of scripture as I read it again this past week. And I want you to just want to go through it with you this morning and share some things that the Lord showed me out of this passage of scripture and the difference that God can make. I want you to look at verse 14 where we started there this morning and that first phrase that the Apostle Paul uses there. For the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. We found out in our study of the fruit of the Spirit that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so when he talks about the love of Christ controlling us, he's talking about being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God and the new nature that he has now that he is a born-again child of God. Paul tells us in the preceding verses, in the following verses, that he begins to see life differently because of the life that he now has in Christ Jesus. It has completely changed his outlook on life. He knows now that Jesus died for everybody. That there's no difference between people. We were talking with some of our friends the other day who said that they've traveled the world and witnessed to a number of different people. And they say, you know what? People are really the same everywhere you go. And it's true. People all over the world are just the same. They have the same struggles. They have the same hurts. They have the same needs. They have the same need for God, for the Lord Jesus. And how many of you understand today that it is the purpose of us as believers? Paul goes on to say in that 14th or 15th verse, one died for all so that those who live may live for him who died for them. How many of you realize today that our purpose in life, your purpose in life, is to live for the glory of the Son of God? That's your primary purpose. To live for his glory. 1 Corinthians 8 says that we have been created by him and we've been created for him. And in 1 Corinthians 6, he tells us there that we are really not even our own. We've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. And now we belong to God so that he can do with our lives whatever he wills. 1 Peter confirms this in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. It tells us there that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, he said, who have been chosen by God to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Listen to what Peter is saying to us. God has chosen you. He has called you. He has now gifted you and he has now anointed you. He has brought you out of darkness for two reasons, so that you can praise and glorify him and so that you can witness to the world of how you came out of darkness and into light. Because the whole world needs the light that burns within you today, brother and sister, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at what he says in verse 16 here. He goes on to say, because of this revelation, because I now know that Jesus died for all, and in the eyes of God, we are all the same. He said, I have made the decision that from this point on, I will no longer regard anyone after the flesh. In other words, who people are in the natural is no longer an issue for me. See, when you and I look at people after the flesh, we look at people in the natural, we see men and we see women. We see young and we see old. We see rich. We see poor. We see some decent people. We see some mean and hateful people. We see some red, yellow, black, and white. We see all of these things after the flesh. In Paul's day, you were either a Jew or you're a Gentile. And Paul says, from this point on, who people are after the flesh is irrelevant to me, because I know that every person, regardless of where they're from or who they are, every person needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul essentially says this. Paul says there are two kinds of people in the world today. There are those that know Jesus, and there are those that need Jesus. And it's the responsibility of us who know the Lord to tell those who need the Lord who he is and how to find him. In verses 18 to 21, he tells us there about our ministry as believers. He says, first of all, in verse 18, we've been reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, but now we have a ministry. To be reconciled means to be brought into harmony. Okay? We've been brought into harmony with Almighty God again. We were out of harmony because of sin, but God sent Jesus to the cross. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God in Christ. And he sent Jesus to die for us so that we could be forgiven and in that forgiveness be brought back into harmony with God again. But God didn't bring you back into harmony with himself just to leave you there. He brings you and me back into harmony with himself so that we can go to the world and announce to them the good news. And I want you to see the good news in verse 19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Look at this next phrase. Not counting their trespasses against them. Guys, did you hear what Paul just said? Paul just said, because of Jesus, God doesn't hold our sins against us. God doesn't hold our sins against us. We are forgiven, and all of our sins have been washed away. I can't help but think of the prodigal son who wasted his father's money on riotous living. The Bible said did all kinds of disgusting things with his father's money, wasted it all, finally came to his senses, came back to his father. And when he comes home to his father, His father treats him as though he had never left, treats him as though he had never sinned. He doesn't hold any of his sins against him. He puts a robe on his back. He puts sandals on his feet. He puts a ring on his finger. He slaughters the fatted calf. They have a party. They have a celebration. And he treats the son as though he had never sinned. And that's the way that God looks at you and me today, guys. That's awesome that God would look at us as though we had never, ever sinned. And he calls us to a ministry of reconciliation to the world. The basis of our ministry is in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The basis of our witness is the fact that Jesus has changed our life. And now we're a different person than we were before we came to know Jesus Christ. Do you understand? You know, it's a good thing. It would be a good thing for us to know the Bible and to know the Scriptures. But did you know that you don't have to be able to quote a whole lot of Scripture in order to be a witness for Jesus Christ? All you need to be a witness for Jesus Christ is to have a relationship with Him that's changed your life. And now you can announce to people, God has changed my life. He'll change your life too. And if they want to argue with you about it, all you've got to do is the same thing Philip did to Nathanael when he witnessed to him about Jesus. Philip comes to Nathanael and he says, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the one that the prophets have spoken about. He is Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael said, "Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip's response was not to argue, not to debate. Philip's response was simply, "Come and see. Come and see." And when we tell people about what God has done in our life, and they want to debate, or they want to argue, or they want to question, our response doesn't have to be to try to convince them of anything. Your job is never to convince anybody of anything. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the convicting and the convincing. We do the presenting. God does the producing. And so all we need to say is, come and see. Come and see what God can do in your life. And the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of the changed life. Where we used to be angry, now we're patient and gentle. Where we used to be greedy, now we're generous givers. Where we used to be mean and hateful, now we're loving and kind. Where we used to be immoral and lustful, now we live by self-control. The Holy Spirit has done all of this, and He's changed our life, and He's made us a different person. Now, we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, love and joy, peace and patience, goodness and kindness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. We've looked at those 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit over the last several weeks together. But as we looked at those things, and I showed you in that passage of Scripture in Galatians 5 and 22, I showed you in that passage of Scripture that it actually ends by saying, and things like these, or things such as these. And the point that I made was that list of 9 qualities and characteristics there is not an exhaustive list of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit does other things in our lives as well. And so to conclude our series, I want to look with you at the book of Ephesians. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to show you some further fruit of the Holy Spirit. Some of the characteristics that the Holy Spirit will work in your life and in my life when we surrender to Him and allow Him to have His way. In Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm not going to read extensively from the first part. I do want to pick up just to speak of it, beginning in verse 17, 18, and 19, these verses deal with what Paul called in Galatians the works of the flesh. Oh, let me just say this too. We saw there in 2 Corinthians, he talked about old things and new things. In Galatians, he talked about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. He's talking about the same thing, that the old things are the works of the flesh. The new things in Corinthians are the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. When he talks about these same things in Ephesians and Colossians, he uses different terminology, but he's talking about the same thing. In Ephesians and Colossians, he'll talk about the old man and the new man. But it's the same thing. The old man, that's the old things that passed away. That's the deeds of the flesh. The new man, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the new things that have come. Okay? And so when he tells us here in verses 17 through 19, he's describing what he will call in verse 22 to 24, the old man. He's talking about the same thing, the old sinful human nature. That's what he's talking about. Okay? And that nature, it walks in the futility of its mind, separated from God, walking in darkness, walking in ignorance, all of these kinds of things, sensuality, impurity, greediness, all of these kinds of things. But now look at verse 22 with me. He says that in reference to your former manner of life, the old man, the old way of living, the flesh, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So again, the idea is the same thing. Where in Galatians he said, walk by the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. He's saying the same thing here. Put on the new man, that's walking by the Spirit. Put off the old man. Don't do the deeds of the flesh, you see. So it's the same thing that he's talking about here. That's my introduction to verse 25, where he begins to talk about what we would call maybe the fruit of the Spirit. Watch this. Look at verse 25 with me. He says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, that's the old man, deceitful, okay? That's the old way, old things, the old man, the flesh. Falsehood. Speak truth, each one of you, with your neighbor. That's the new man. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the new things that have come. Speaking honestly, having integrity, speaking truth. In other words, don't lie to manipulate people. Don't lie to try to get your way. Don't lie to try to cover up the failures in your life and all of these kinds of things. Speak truth. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak truth through your life. The next one is interesting because it says in verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Wait a minute, Pastor. Galatians said anger is the work of the flesh. Yeah, it did. But how many of you know there is a righteous indignation? There is a righteous anger. And it is an anger against sin. You might say it this way. The anger that is sin is anger against people. The anger that is righteous is the anger against sin. Just an example for you. Most of you in here would probably agree with me concerning the contemporary issues that our culture deals with today, with abortion, homosexuality, these kinds of things. We would, as conservative Christians, we would perceive those things to be sin. Now, we can be angry at the people, or we can be angry at the sin while still loving the people. But he warns us in this verse of scripture. He says in verse 16, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. It seems that he has a good idea that if we carry anger too long, we are liable to misdirect it. And so he says, deal with it. Deal with it. Okay? But there is an anger towards sin that is a righteous indignation. Verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer. That's the flesh man. That's the old man. That's the old way. Stealing. What's the new man? But rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he has something to share with the one who is in need. That's the new man. See, the man who steals is looking out for himself. That's the old man. The man who gives and blesses, that's the new man. That's the deeds of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, if you will, the transformed life by the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. How many of you know the Holy Spirit will clean up your vocabulary? The Holy Spirit will change the way that you speak. And it's not just in the vocabulary and in the specific way, but it's also vocabulary in the way that you speak to other people, okay? With the attitude that we speak to other people. And so the new man speaks the truth in love. He speaks with edification. He speaks to build up and not to tear down. Verse 29, that was verse 29. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So when we walk by the flesh, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Look at these, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you. That's the old man. Put away the old man. Put away the flesh. Put away the old things. Don't let them have control of your life anymore. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Please hear what he just said to us there. He says that when we follow the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit can give us the ability to forgive anybody of anything. The Holy Spirit can do that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And love manifests itself in forgiveness. You know, we just read on Wednesday night, we're studying the book of Acts. And we just read through Acts chapter 7. And we saw Stephen, the deacon who was arrested for preaching the gospel and became the first martyr of the church. And you know of Jesus, when he was crucified, and as he's being crucified on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand what's happening. And Stephen, when he becomes the martyr of the church, he defends himself and he makes the Pharisees and the Sadducees so mad, they actually violate Roman law, take him out back, and stone him to death. And as they're stoning Stephen to death, Stephen says, Father, do not hold this sin against them. Just like Jesus, Stephen forgave the very ones that were taking his life. And it's just the evidence, it's the witness that you and I can forgive anybody of anything in our lives. Chapter 5, verse 1. Sums it up this way. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That love manifests in all of these other ways. Once again, Paul is telling us here in this passage of Scripture, love encompasses all of these other things. You want to be a person who speaks truth to people. You want to be a person who is kind and generous to people. You want to be a person who doesn't use unwholesome words but is kind in your vocabulary to people. You want to be a person who is not bitter, not angry, doesn't use slander or malice, but rather a person who is kind and tenderhearted and forgiving. Walk in love. Walk in love. It accomplishes all of these other things. Living life by the Holy Spirit produces a better life for all of us. No more fear. Guys, when you walk by the Spirit of the Lord, you make the choice. Oh, by the way, and we didn't read it, we don't have time to read it, but if you read Colossians chapter 3, he shares a few more things that are the fruit of the Spirit. Holiness and humility. Two more things that the Holy Spirit can produce in every one of us. And when we make the choice to walk in holiness, you don't fear anymore being caught in a lie. You don't fear being exposed anymore. You're not afraid of being caught. No more shame, no more embarrassment, no more humiliation. Just freedom from destruction because you walk in the righteousness of God. Freedom from sin. It makes us a light to the world that can lead others out of darkness and into the victory and freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we've seen over these last several weeks the awesome things that the Holy Spirit can work in our hearts and lives. The transformation, the difference he can make in us when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. Your word tells us that we've become partakers of the divine nature of God. And all of the characteristics and all of the fruit of that heavenly life are waiting to be released and experienced in the life of all of your children. I pray, Father, that you would remind us of the life that has been deposited within us when we were born again. And I pray that you would grant to us that we might live by the Spirit for our good and for the glory of your name. I thank you for it through Christ our Lord. Amen. And would you stay in an attitude of prayer for a few moments with me today? And would you consider your ways today?